Hi, and welcome to the Tough Fish Show. I'm your host, Jen Melius, and today is a rebroadcast of the powerful interview with Lauren Sapala about being highly intuitive. And before we get into the show, I've got two resources for you if you're ready to take those next steps of visibility and sharing. The Author Stylist Guide is my new book that is your toolbox for the next steps to make the most of speaking engagements, book signings, and podcast interviews when they arise, so you grow your readership and create a buzz about your catalog of work and message. And it's available where books are sold. The second are free resources focused on helping you get your book and message out into the world. Visit jennifermelius.com/start and choose what resonates. Whether you grab the resources or the new book, both are about helping you take steps towards being seen and heard, showing up at the table, owning your space, and sharing your book and message. So in this deep conversation with Lauren Sapala, we talk about being highly intuitive and how that affects your writing or creative process. One of the biggest things when you are running a business or working on a creative project is getting as comfortable as you can without knowing all of the answers and being uncomfortable. So if you are stuck with your writing, are highly sensitive or highly intuitive, then let Lauren's wisdom offer some ways through it. Lauren Sapala is the author of The INFJ Writer, Firefly Magic, Heart-Powered Marketing for Highly Sensitive Writers, and The INFJ Revolution, as well as the West Coast Trilogy, an autobiographical fiction series. She's also a writing coach for writers of the INFJ and INFP personality type, and blogs about writing, creativity, and personality theory at laurensapala.com. Enjoy the conversation with Lauren. Welcome to the Tough Fish Show. I am so excited to bring to you Lauren Sapala. Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Jen. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am so glad you are here. And I would love for you to start with, how did you get into writing?
Oh, goodness. How did I get into writing? Well, I think so many writers will say I was a young child. I wrote from a young age. That was definitely me, 6 years old, writing my first poem. So I wrote when I was a young child and a teenager. I got into creative writing in college. I took a creative writing class and I received very harsh criticism from a creative writing professor who said, I don't think this is for you. I don't think you have that much talent in this area. And I think you should find something else to do. But she was courteous about it, but it was very hurtful. So I stopped writing for 7 years until I was in my late 20s. And then I started writing again through a writing program in San Francisco. So that was how I started. I had a big stop in the middle. I had a big stumble, this drought, this 7 year gap where I didn't write anything at all. And I was miserable.
You know, I understand that. And it's amazing how feedback, whether it is how it's given, sometimes it's truly given with kindness and a constructive element. And sometimes it's given and it may not have been intended to hurt, but it does hurt. And it's how you process it. And sometimes it takes a lot longer to move on from that. So, and it depends upon what you got the feedback on and so many other elements. Sometimes you can just let it go very quickly. And sometimes it's like, no, this hurt more than I realized. And I kind of need to take a break for a moment. So I love that you shared that because that can happen to everyone. So how did you pick back up when you realized that you still wanted to do this and move past such feedback?
Well, what I didn't realize then as that 21-year-old person whose professor said, you don't have any talent in this area, because I had been struggling to write. I had taken the classes and I just couldn't make it work. I would have an idea. I would have a character. And then I would start writing and somewhere I would get all tangled up. Somewhere it would fizzle out. I would drop the ball. I couldn't keep going with it. And I didn't know what was going on. I was doing everything you were supposed to do. Structuring the outline, writing the plot points, trying to write according to that structure. And I always just hit this wall, this dead end. I could go no further. Then I joined a writing program in San Francisco, my late 20s, as I said. It was a silent writing program. And we just came and wrote for 1 hour. There was no critique. There was no sharing. We just wrote for 1 hour silently. I did that for 2 years and I ended up with a novel. And that's how I discovered the way I write, which is with a lot less structure and no plotting at all. It's a much more intuitive way of writing. It's a way of connecting to the unconscious, which I didn't know how to do when I was 21. I didn't understand I was an intuitive person. I was trying to use the rational part of my brain to create stories, and it just wasn't working. So that's what really brought me back was, oh, I can do this. It wasn't that I was bad at it. It was that I was doing it in the wrong way for me.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. I love that you shared that. So to your point, everyone needs to figure out their own writing process. And sometimes it might look the same for each book that they write or each piece that they write. And sometimes it may look very different between different pieces because they've grown or that piece needed something different from them. But when you were realizing that this was your writing process, could you talk a little bit more in depth about that? Did you just write out what worked for you at that point and you go back through and write another layer in and write another layer in or edit out and put back in? I mean, was it starting out with bare bones or did you have a whole lot that you create all at once and then you have to scale it back?
So for me, in the early days, I didn't quite understand my, let's say, quote unquote, system. Now that I have been doing this for so long, I mean, this was back in 2006, so it's been a while, and I've taught people and I teach classes and I work with clients, I realized it came all back to me being highly intuitive. So as a highly intuitive person, using my conscious mind to create doesn't work very well for me. I can problem solve, I can brainstorm with the best of them, but it doesn't light me up inside. It just feels like solving problems. I've always been very good in offices. I've always been very good at tasks that have to be done and organized. I can do that, but it's not the same as writing a novel. It's not the same as writing stories, which is something that really lights me up inside. So my process now, and what I learned back then, I have to wait for the pieces to come to me. The first piece will come. I'll see an image. I'll have a feeling. I'll meet a character. And then I just need to follow that thread, which means a lot of not knowing, a lot of not knowing what it's going to look like, not knowing how it's going to turn out, not knowing what the ending will be, not knowing what I'm writing toward, not knowing which direction I'm going. There's a lot of not knowing in that. But if I can wait and I can listen and I can receive, each piece will come. And I've done this with memoir, where I work with my past memories, I work with music, I work with old photographs, old journal entries, and then I wait for the pieces to come. With fiction, I always establish the relationship with the character. Instead of focusing on the idea of the story, I don't worry about the idea. I worry about my relationship with the character. I show up and I'm like, I'm here. Do you want to be friends? Do you want to talk? I have love for you. I care about you. I want to help you. It's my responsibility to help you as the writer. What do you have to tell me? And then I write it down without judgment, without worrying about, will readers like this? Is this too boring? There's not enough tension. What plot point does this go with? I just write down what they tell me or show me. And I keep doing that. I don't reread. I don't edit. I just write down the pieces as they come. When all the pieces feel like they're out of me, I put the whole thing away for about 2 months. Then I come back and reread the whole thing, put it away again. And then I come back and that's when I start revising and editing, which I also do from an intuitive place. I don't work with the text outside of the text, which means I'm not thinking about the edits I'm going to make when I'm not elbows deep in the text. I'm in the text and I'm intuitively feeling what needs to be untangled and I go from there. So that's kind of it in a big nutshell. I don't know if that answers your question.
That does. And I love how you describe the editing process because that is actually how I approach the projects where I'm hired as a developmental editor. I really need to be immersed in that project and I want that writer to be successful. And when you've asked me to help you with the structure, with the message, with the development, I feel that way too. Like I'm very much in that and wanting to show as much as I can to help that writer amplify and strengthen their story. So I love how you describe that because when you're doing that, you're very much in that space. And I know it sounds funny, but like I want to create a little bit of a cave when I'm working in that way. Like I will draw my curtains so that the room is a little bit darker. I set a few other lights so that it feels a little bit more intimate in its own way, which almost creates like a cocoon in a sense around me and that writing versus it being a bright sunny day and the window is open and all this beautiful light comes in. And that's wonderful, except sometimes it feels like it's almost like too much stimulation to get to that intimate space that you want to be in. Does that make sense to you?
It does because I run a silent writing program every month and we meet over Zoom 3 times a week. And I have the curtains drawn and I have a candle lit. The candles, you know, it's lit for the silent writing. And the rule is no phones. All the tabs on the internet have to be closed. You are here in this container, this yes. cozy container with, you know, 10 or 20 of us. And we're writing together for 1 hour. That's it. So it's like that single focus. You yeah. have that single focus time. And also that container, like you said, like the curtains are drawn. It feels kind of cozy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. That makes me feel so much. I mean, I didn't realize that other people were doing that too in that way, because for me, when I draw those curtains, when I set that tone lighting, I have a candle too that I use, and it's just, it changes that feeling, but it really helps me to it be more immersive in that process. So I loved hearing that. And some of the things I'm picking up on too, is not just the fact that you mentioned that you are intuitive and that you work with those who are intuitive, but I know some of your books, at least, are geared towards INFJs from the Myers-Briggs. And I would love for you to talk about that because that's like a little love language to me too. So please share.
Well, I love that you brought that up. You know, I remember before we started recording a few minutes ago, you said, well, I was here on the spectrum with the I and then, you know, the J, but the N was always really strong. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm really concerned with is that N. I'm not so concerned. My clients are INFJs or INFPs. So mm-hmm. I'm not concerned at all with the J or the P. And I'm not so concerned with if you're a thinker or an extrovert. Mm-hmm. But if you're intuitive, that is the key piece. If you are intuitive, the way you connect to creativity is different from those who are non-intuitive. And those who are non-intuitive are not going to get it. I use the terms conscious creativity and unconscious creativity. So non-intuitive people, they understand conscious creativity. And in fact, in our society, it's just called creativity. When most people talk about creativity, they mean conscious creativity. You're consciously thinking up solutions to problems. There is something to be solved, brainstorming, troubleshooting. You're dividing things into pieces and you're addressing each of those pieces in a very conscious way. Unconscious creativity is not like that. Unconscious creativity sees the inside and the outside of things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And this is why intuitive people are very well known for reading someone's character. So I see what they look like. I see how they're presenting on the outside. And at the same time, I see their essence. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I see their psychological motivations. It's not separate. Inner and outer are not separate. They're connected. They're all part of one thing. Same thing with unconscious creativity. So that's where the INFJ, INFP piece comes in. Because if you are intuitive, the way you work with stories and characters and memoir and your creativity, it's going to look totally different than the mainstream conscious creativity approach. And if you try to primarily use that mainstream approach, it's going to be very frustrating. And usually intuitive people internalize that as I'm a bad writer. Something's wrong with me. I just can't get this. Everyone else can do it but me. When it's not them, it's that they're using the wrong method. They're using a method that doesn't work with their intuition.
I love that you've said that because what I'm hearing with that is a few things. One is an acceptance of self, that the writer might feel like they're trying to force themselves into a box that they may not even realize that they have been doing until it hits. And they're like, I'm trying to write in a way that I'm not. I'm trying to be something I'm not. So there's a form of acceptance, but there's also a form of permission going on to say, and I don't have to go about it in this way that seems like everyone else's, or the way I have been going that really feels good, that really generates what I'm trying to do, but might be to everyone else counterintuitive. It's still okay to do. So those are some of the things I'm hearing with what you're saying. And I love that. How would you help a writer who is struggling or who has now had this light bulb and goes, oh, I have been trying to do that, you know, square peg, round hole concept. And I don't need to be going in the square peg, but I'm still trying to figure out where I am going. What would you advise for them?
So for most of my clients, usually I have to start with deprogramming. That's the first few sessions. They have to be deprogrammed from I'm wrong and everyone else is right. So I need to force myself to write every day, have an outline, push towards word counts, be productive, work with this sort of left brain approach, right? So once we can let that go of that doesn't work for me, and a lot of people really grip onto it. Honestly, a lot of people will say, well, I'm willing to let it go as long as you give me a guarantee that this other way is going to work because I don't want to waste any time. And I usually say, but you've been trying the old way for 15 years and it hasn't worked at all. So maybe let's try something new. So we deprogram, we let that go. And then we discover how that particular writer works. Every writer is different. Every writer will work in a different way, have a different style, a different process. I am not trying to get people to learn how to do it or how to learn how I do it and do the same thing. I work with what's called the intuitive writing method, but there are no instructions for you have to follow these steps exactly. We want to find out how do you work, and then let's nurture that. Let's unveil more and more of that. Let's have you flow with your energy instead of fighting yourself. And then the final piece is anxiety. And that's always a big piece for intuitive people. Highly intuitive people almost always have high anxiety. Okay. We have very reactive nervous systems. We pick up on the energy from everyone around us. We know what's going on in the room, if our partner's unhappy, if our best friend might be mad at us. We are a constant swirl of all this stimulus coming in. And so the way that we handle that most of the time is through control. We manage our environment. We can't have too much chaos. We want to be on a schedule. We manage what we eat, what we wear, who we're around, right? So we're managers, even the INFPs. There's that control piece. And then we bring that to our writing. And when we don't know what the ending's going to be or where the story's going, we can get very anxious and really start trying to control. So once we move into an intuitive approach, the ongoing work is really managing the reaction you're going to have to your anxiety about not knowing. That's really the core of it. And if we can manage that reaction of, okay, I don't know, and I'm going to be okay with that, then we can continue to do the work. I don't expect anyone to be the Dalai Lama. We're all going to have anxiety about this. I've never met an intuitive person who's like, yeah, I don't know where my story is going. I don't care. I've never, that doesn't happen. But for someone to say, I'm really anxious right now, and I recognize that, but I'm not going to let myself freak out and smother the story. I'm going to go somewhere else and work off that anxiety, whether that's the gym, or I'm going to bake a loaf of bread, or I'm going to talk to my best friend, and then I'll come back to the work when I'm in a more open, settled state of mind.
Okay, I have heard so many little pieces in here, one of which is the fact that a physical activity is helpful, because there's something very, when you're doing something very tactile, when you're with your hands, with your body, that helps to burn, to redirect, to become more present in some cases. And I've also heard you inferring a break, that you need to give yourself a break with your writing, with your editing, wherever you are in that process, because, you know, one, you are spending the energy, whether it's actively working on it when you are writing or because of being who you are. There are things you're processing and working on your book or working on that piece when you're not in front of the computer, when you're not sitting there with a piece of paper and pen. So giving yourself permission to say, I need a break and I'm going to give myself this. And it's okay. Back to not knowing with that too. Like, and will it fall apart? I don't know. But right now I need the break more than I can worry about what else could happen. This is the priority. Another thing I heard is really how this extends beyond the book. So once we have the writing process and we've worked through the writing, and now this book is starting to take shape. And so there's a little bit more comfort in not knowing where the story goes, not knowing if these characters are going to behave, not knowing if I've written it correctly the first pass, or if I'm going to have to do a lot of re-racking and reorganizing and rewriting. But at least I have a draft to work with. Once you hit publish, that unknown piece kicks into a whole new level because you've mastered to some point this current level. Now we're moving into a new level. And that new level is going back to probably the beginning of now we have some deprogramming. Now we have to go back to how do you leverage your process and how are you getting more comfortable with what you don't know?
Well, and I love you said, publishing, because I work with writers on marketing a lot, and marketing is part of this. Writing is not in its own little compartment separate from your life. Marketing is not in its own little compartment. People will come to me and say, I have all these problems marketing. I have fears. I have terror. I can't seem to do it. I just want to sit down and cry when I think about it. But it's not related to anything else in my life. It is, especially if you are highly intuitive, highly sensitive, and highly anxious. Highly intuitive people are always highly sensitive, always highly anxious. And because we have felt so weird from such a young age, we usually drive ourselves very hard. Something we are good at in society is being productive. We really are good at getting things done quietly behind the scenes. And so we learn to tie our self-worth to productivity. And when we start to slow down and say, well, I'm going to work with things, this anxiety. I'm going to back off the writing right now. I'm going to take a break. Or I'm going to work with marketing and put myself out there in a very uncertain way. All of our control mechanisms go out the window, and we can just really freak out and sit down and say, that's it. I'm not going any further. So all of these are life issues. This is not just writing. This is not just marketing. This is the life of a highly intuitive, highly sensitive, highly anxious person.
I love so much that you have described things the way you have. So, what are some ways that when you started working on your INFJ books, how did you go about each one? Because it's part of a series, really, because there's each one is just a little bit different. But how did you go about each one to honor that space of this series, but yet staying focused in the book for its intended purpose and message?
Well, with my first book, The INFJ Writer, I had been working as a coach for about a couple of years at that point, and I had seen a few different patterns coming up with clients. And I thought the original inspiration, I thought, I know there are people out there who would really benefit from coaching, but they can't afford coaching or they don't have the time. And maybe they won't even find me because I'm kind of small potatoes on the internet. And I just thought, I wish there was just a book I could hand them. There was just something I could put on Amazon. So if they can't do coaching with me or they've just discovered me, they can just buy this relatively affordable thing on Amazon that's like $8 and still get the help, still get the things that I've discovered, the nuggets that I know will help them. And so that's how I decided to write the book. And that's how I approached it. Each chapter, I didn't even call it a chapter. I was like, I'm just going to write, 20 or 30 sections, and each section is going to be on a nugget of teaching or a nugget of a pattern or an insight, something that I have discovered that I really do know is helpful. And I start off each section with a story. So if you read the book, you'll see a lot of the chapters. I'm like, I was talking to a client one day and she said this, or I had this conversation with a friend. I always started with a personal story where I had noticed this thing in real life. I described the story, and then I went into a little bit of teaching. And I consciously wanted to make it simple, something somebody could read on their commute, something somebody could read in a week, not long, not complex, not a whole lot of information to absorb. And that's how the INFJ writer was born. I had no plans for the other books at that time. So I put that out there, and then the other books came. Same thing where I was like, wow, now I'm talking to a lot of people who have issues with marketing, and I'm seeing these patterns. So then I wrote Firefly Magic, Heart Powered Marketing for Highly Sensitive Writers. So again, each chapter, it's a nugget. Here's a little bit of wisdom. Here's a little bit of teaching that you can apply to your own life. And that's how I always do all of my nonfiction books. My approach is to make them as simple and clear as possible and not to really shoot for the fancy language or this is the most well-written thing anyone's ever seen and I'm going to win the Nobel Prize. I feel like when you have that in mind, it really smothers the creativity. But I always say, I just want this to be simple, clear, and direct. It's about teaching people. It's not about impressing people.
I love that because what I'm hearing is how that intuitive process that we were talking about earlier, how it's showing up in nonfiction, which isn't necessarily this character per se, like in fiction, is speaking to the writer to say, well, would you let me tell my story, writer? This is my story that we're talking about as the character speaks. But in nonfiction, it's a different way of, as you were describing, that immersive process. It's letting those nuggets come up saying, these are the nuggets I need to speak to. It's almost, I might have 10 things I might particularly want to have in this book, but if 7 specifically show up and they're very clear and the other 3 aren't, what I'm hearing you say is, okay, then I work with the 7 and the other 3 will show up when they're supposed to, or they will be in another book, or they Yes. might show up in the revision, but I'm not going to hold up everything else because of these others, if everything else feels right, correct?
Exactly. And I didn't do an outline. I didn't come up with a list of possible chapters. I just said, okay, life, I'm here. What should I write about for this week's section? And then I waited, and 3 people would email me with the same issue, or 2 clients would call me with the same pattern. I would get that nudge from reality. Look, look here. Pay attention to this. And as an intuitive person, I know you've experienced that where you're like, this is weird, but the same thing has shown up 3 times this week. There's something trying to get me to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I wrote everything. That's how I decided each chapter. There's something trying to get me to pay attention to this. Okay, I'm writing about it.
I love that. I love that so much. And you're right that when you are staying open and you see things, they will present themselves. And that's also when it's almost kind of like an invitation to say, where can this go? It's allowing your curiosity to kick in and saying, where can this go? So it's embracing that too, and giving yourself, kind of going back to permission to say, I want to see what's possible.
It's way more fun. I always tell my clients, you're using a pull energy instead of a push. Mm-hmm. When you come up with, well, I've already outlined it. These are my 20 chapters. I have to write it this way. You're pushing yourself toward the goal. You're getting behind yourself and that can be tiring and exhausting and just not very much fun. It feels more like a chore. Mm-hmm. When you're looking around and you're noticing life and you're saying, I'm going to be shown what I need to write about. I'm going to be shown the next step. I'm going to pay attention. That is when you bring in curiosity, as you said, and wonder. And then you are being pulled towards things. It's much easier. Like, oh, it's like a magnet. I'm being pulled towards this or that. And it's just so much more fun.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So Lauren, I'm curious, what would you give a writer who might be listening, who is saying, okay, you know what? Maybe I have been going about this like the 15 years, and no matter how long it was, but they realized maybe there's something to this and I want to try something different. What piece of advice would you give them to help them get started in that direction?
So this is going to sound really simple. It's actually very hard to do for people. If it doesn't feel good, stop doing that thing. If it feels good, do more of that thing. Now, I know that sounds simple, but I work with clients for years who are saying, well, I know I'm still going to this group and I don't really feel good there. And I feel like they don't really like me. And I don't know. And I said, why are you still going to that group? I feel like I should. I have an obligation. I'll feel guilty if I don't go. What if nothing better shows up? So I hear a lot of that. I'm doing this thing that doesn't feel good because I feel like I should do it. It's an obligation. I'm worried nothing better will show up. Scarcity. I'm worried there will be blowback if I stop doing it. I understand all that. But if it doesn't feel good, whether that's a writing process or a writing group or the topic you're writing on or a writing job, stop doing it. The things that do make you feel good, staring at the clouds, walking through fields, listening to the same song 75 times in a row, if that feels good, do it without judgment. Do that thing, do more of that thing. If it's making you feel good, that's a big sign you are on the right track.
That's awesome and powerful. And Lauren, where can people connect with you and where can they get your books?
Well, everything's on my website, laurensapala.com. It's just my name. You can also find me on YouTube. I've got a ton of videos on personality, intuition, creativity, writing, intuitive writing, procrastination, perfectionism, tons and tons of videos there. I've got video courses on my website and I teach classes constantly. If you sign up for my newsletter list, you get a free copy of Firefly Magic, Heart-Powered Marketing for Highly Sensitive Writers. And then you'll get all the updates and notifications on upcoming classes and courses. And like I say, I do a lot of them. So if you see a class and you're like, oh, I'm so bummed that one's over, because I put them on YouTube, but you know, the advertisements, one more will be coming your way soon. You don't have to worry about it. I teach a lot, so you will get into something. But my website, best bet, and then YouTube.
Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
I'm a big believer that if the story came to you, it must come through you. If you're in the middle of the first draft, keep writing. If you're in the middle of edits, keep refining. No matter where you are, but especially if you've hit published, keep talking about and sharing your book and message. If you're ready to take those next steps of visibility and sharing, I've got two opportunities for you. The Author Stylist Guide is your toolbox for the next steps to make the most of speaking engagements, book signings, and podcast interviews when they arise, so you grow your readership and create a buzz about your catalog of work and message. Visit jennifermilius.com/books to learn more and hop on the waitlist and pre-order today. Or if one-on-one, high-touch support to get you, your business, your book, your brand, your message to that next big level for you is what you need, visit jennifermilius.com/stylist to see if this is perfect for where you are now. And if yes, book a complimentary consult call and let's talk. Thanks again for listening today. I'm so glad you are here. Your book, your message, your body of work is worth sharing, and you are the right person and the only one who can share it. The people who need to hear your message the most are waiting for you. They are waiting for you to step up to your next level of genius so they can have the impact they're meant to because you inspired them. I'll see you soon.